Hello everyone, my name is Jesus Aguilar. I'm a technical evangelist located in New York City, and today we're going to talk about Windows Azure Mobile Services and how you can use it as a caching middle tier. And we're going to give you a little background on why this is an important thing that you might want to consider. So let me jump in into the presentation right away. So today we're going to talk about Azure Mobile Services and how you can use this Azure offering as a caching tier for your mobile application. So let's step back and talk about the challenge for a little bit. You know, let's assume that you have an application, a mobile application, and then you are using a third-party API, right? This could be from any provider that provides data that you use in the context of your application. One particular challenge that many people face with their applications is that they encounter what is called API rate limits. So if you're not familiar with this particular problem, let me give you a quick rundown. So when you have an API, a third-party API that you're using in your mobile application, sometimes what happens is if you reach a particular limit, then you get an error, right? And that limit could be many things. Could be a number of concurrent connections, right, that your API is doing at that particular, that your mobile application is doing at that particular moment in time. Or a number of connections that occur over a period of time, right? And when that happens, your end users experience a disruption of services in many of the cases. And there are different ways how you approach this and how you can solve this. You know, one quick way of doing it would be to sometimes, you know, ask the API provider to give you more calls or to increase the number of calls that your application can do. That often results in sometimes a significantly higher cost for you, right? So maybe you don't want to do that right away, right? The other solution is also is a little bit more complicated because some of the API providers use this mechanism to prevent their system from getting overloaded. So they tell you things like, well, you know, you're only allowed to have an X number of concurrent users, or you're only allowed to have an X number of calls per day, no matter what the offering is, or no matter, you know, what sort of agreement you have with us. In that context, it becomes very challenging to tackle that scenario. Now, another fundamental situation or fact about these APIs is that in a vast majority of cases, most of the data that you're getting from those APIs is data that doesn't change in a given period of time, right? And this period of time could be, you know, a couple of minutes, or it could be a longer period of time. Let's take, for instance, weather information, right? So weather information doesn't change, you know, at least from the perspective of the API data that you get from the API provider, you know, doesn't change that oftenly within, I don't know, 15 minutes or perhaps even an hour or 2 hours or so, right? So during that period of time, all your clients are going to be accessing, they're calling the API directly, right, are going to be getting the same data, right? So given that scenario, right, it will be really cool to have something centralized, right, that essentially you can leverage and that catches all that information for all your clients. And that's precisely what I'm going to show you how to do using Azure Mobile Services. So just to give you a quick overview of how this works, and actually the solution is quite simple. You know, it's nothing complicated. So just to give you a quick rundown of how this will work is, obviously, mobile services has two components. It has an API piece, right, where you can define APIs based on a particular data structure, and it has a backend. So what we're going to do is, instead of having the clients calling the API directly, they're going to call mobile services, something that you're going to implement in mobile services. And then mobile services is going to do a lookup, you know, based on a particular key or based on a particular information that is coming from your mobile application, right, to see where there is data that it has been cached. If not, then it's going to call on your behalf, right, on the behalf of the client, the third-party API. Then it's going to cache that data, so the subsequent request also has that data available for, you know, in the cache, right? And it's going to return the data back to the client. So it's straightforward, nothing complicated, and that's what we're going to do, what we're going to be doing today. So the first step we're going to do is we need to create the data structure, right, and create our mobile service. Data structure where we're actually going to store the cache data, right? To understand, to create a data structure, we need to understand what the API is going to return, right? In this particular example, what I'm going to be using as the sample is the Bing Search API, So the Bing Search API has the ability to return data, right, based on your search criteria, right? And you can further categorize the data into different types of searches, right? So you can search for news, you can search for videos, you can search for web results, which is all inclusive, right? And you can search for images. In this particular case, what we're going to be doing is an example of using the Bing Search API to search for news based on a particular topic. And when you do that, Bing actually returns a very simple data structure. It actually returns an ID, right, a Bing ID, title, a URL, source of the data, the description, and a date. Straightforward. So at the very least, we need to have all that information in our data structure and mobile services in order to provide that data back to the client. So let's do that. Now, the next thing that we need to do is we need to name our table, and then we need to set the permissions. Now, if you're not familiar with Azure Mobile Services, let me give you a quick background of what happens when you create a new table in mobile services. So automatically, Azure creates endpoints for all the CRUD operations that relate to that table. So you have endpoints for insert, update, delete, and read, right? Further to that, you can set permissions to those operations, right? So in this particular case, we're actually setting the permissions to all those operations to scripts and admins. What that means at the end of the day is that the client won't be able to directly call the APIs that perform those operations for that particular table. Are we going to talk about the rationale behind that later? So after you create the table, then you can add the columns. And I did that already. And just to give you, just to highlight the ones that correlate to the data structure that we're getting from Bing, you know, we have Bing News ID, we have the URL, description, the title, date, and the source, right? In addition, I added two additional columns, the expiration date and the service criteria. So I'm going to use those two columns, right, as the mechanism for the expiration, as the name implies, is going to control when a set of data is going to expire. The service criteria is going to be the way I'm going to uniquely identify a set of records. So now that we have our table created and our mobile service created, we need to create the endpoint that the application, the mobile application that is going to be using to essentially perform the operation that we need to, right? And to do this, we're going to create a custom API mobile service. In addition to the CRUD operations that are exposed on tables on mobile services, you have the ability to create custom APIs, right? And these custom APIs are not necessarily table-based. They are designed to do, you know, other operations, right, like the one that we're going to be doing today, to implement some additional custom logic. And you can implement APIs, or you can implement custom logic that respond to the following HTTP methods: get, post, put, patched, and delete, right? And then you can set the same permissions as tables as well. So you have the ability to control that. So in our case, we're just going to create a custom API. We're going to call that Bing News. And we're going to expose only the get operation, right? Because everything else doesn't make sense. I'm just calling the API. I'm going to put it as a parameter in my query string, the search item that I want to retrieve, right, or the search criteria that I want to retrieve, and based on that, I'm going to get all the data. So all the other operations just don't make sense. Post, you know, patch and delete just don't make sense in that context, and that's why I'm putting them as admin only. Now, so next is the implementation of the code, right? And, you know, it looks a little bit, you know, a lot of lines of code, but actually this is very straightforward. So let me walk you through that. So the first step is very straightforward. The only thing that we're going to do is we're going to do a lookup in our cache table, right, based on the search criteria and for things that have not expired yet, right? And then the next step is to, if we found records, then that's good. Then, you know, there's it's a cache hit. So that means that, you know, we can return that data to the client, and we don't have to call the API. So that's where you're actually saving that API call. If not, then we are actually making the HTTP request, right? Like I said, in this particular case, we're doing this in the context of the Bing Search API, right? And if the request succeeds, then we're just responding back to the client, right, and caching the data, right? Caching the data meaning we're actually persisting the results in our data structure that we created previously. So up to this point, you know, straightforward, call the API, persist data into a database, and, you know, return the items if it happens to be something new, right? If it happens to be something that exists in the cache, when the client calls the API is just going to retrieve that information from the cache and it's going to send it back to the client. Now, there is an interesting situation here, right? If we don't pay special attention, we might run into some issues with concurrency. So let me explain you what that is a little bit. Let me give you a quick rundown on that scenario. Let's assume that you have two clients that at the same time are requesting the same information, right? If we don't do anything special, what is going to happen is that the mobile application is going to do a lookup in the table. Since this happened exactly at the same time, right, the cache table is empty, right? So what is going to happen is that our custom API is going to call, you know, the third-party API. We're going to get the results. And then if we don't do anything special again, right, we're going to persist. The custom API is going to persist the data that it was returned from the API, right, twice, right? If we don't handle that, you know, in an interesting way, right? So what that means is that you ended up with duplicate data in your cache data. And you don't want that, obviously, for obvious reasons. There are different ways how you can prevent this from happening, right? Just step back a little bit and think, what we really want to do is that when that occurs, we want to make sure that only one request is the one that actually succeeds on inserting data into the cache table, right? So the other request, right, that happened concurrently, we don't want that to essentially attempt to save the data into the cache table. We just want that request to return the data back, right? So one quick way to achieve that is to create a new table, right? Put a unique constraint on the search criteria. We're going to call that cache key, right? And when that is and change the code so when a request comes in, prior to saving the information to the cache table, right, we attempt to insert a record into that table, into that new table that we just created, right? And we use the fact that that insert succeeded as an indication that that particular, you know, request is okay, right? And it should be able to insert the data into the cache table. Because we have a unique constraint into that table, we're only allowing one insert for that particular value, right? So the other request that happened concurrently, right, won't be able to insert that information. And the database system is going to kind of do that work for us. So in the event of an error inserting on that table, well, that request will just return the data back to the client instead of persisting data into the cache table. So graphically, it will look like this. So two requests come at the same time. The two of them will try to insert into our new table. One of them is going to succeed, and that's the one that is going to persist the data and is going to return the data back to the client. The other one is just going to return the data back to the client. So the implementation of this is also very straightforward. So we just go to a portal, create a new table, again, because we're not exposing this table to any other clients directly. We're setting the permissions to scripts and admins. And then we just add two additional columns, right? The cache key and the cache expiration. And the cache key, we're going to be storing the search criteria that comes from the mobile application, right? From your end users. So what is left to do is to create a unique constraint. Right. No. So one thing that is important to call out here, despite the fact that we're using the portal to create the tables and the columns, behind the scenes we're using SQL Azure. So what that means is that we can connect to that database and manipulate the schema as we deem it appropriate. And we can do that from any tool, right? We can do that from any tool that you can use for SQL Azure. You can do that from Visual Studio. You can do that from, you know, SQL Management Studio. Even Azure, Windows Azure has, you know, a management portal for databases that you can use for this purpose. And creating a unique constraints is straightforward. Using Visual Studio, you just, you know, open the connection, browse the table, go for the definition of the table, and then you can just right there add the new index. And then you make sure that when you add the new index, you select the column, which in this case is going to be the cache key column, and then you set it to unique, right? Because we want it to be unique. So only one instance of that particular value must exist in the table. And that's the foundation of the approach that we're trying to implement here. Okay, so now let's look at the implementation of the concept that we just described, right? An implementation happens in a small method that is called respond and cache data. So that method, if you remember from the previous example, you know, is the method that it's called after we call the API, the third-party API, right? So the important piece about this method is that we're going to attempt to insert a record into our cache keys table, right? And if that is successful, that means that that particular request is the one responsible for inserting the data into the cache, right? If it is not successful, then, you know, it doesn't attempt to do that, and it just returns the data. In both cases, actually, you know, the idea is here to return the data. So, and the implementation is very straightforward. As you can see here, the insert operation, then it has two handlers there, error. We don't do basically anything. We just log it on the console. And if successful, then we loop through the results, and then we insert those results into the cache table. And at the end, we just return the data back to the client as expected. So cool, now we have the full solution working, right? So we have a custom API that receives a search criteria, calls the Bing Search API. If two requests come at the same time, then we have a mechanism to select which one is going to persist the information, right? And, you know, we have that, everything that we need implemented. Now, the next step is not necessarily something that is obvious for the end user, right, or provides value to the end user, but it's good from the perspective of, you know, of your system, right? We need to do some cleanup of that cache data, right, because eventually, you know, it could grow, you know, very large. So you wanna do that. And actually, the cleanup is very simple. And for that, we're going to be using an additional component of Azure Mobile Services, which is the scheduler, right? And what that allows you to do is to schedule scripts, right? And then you can schedule these scripts on a regular basis, or you can do it on demand. And, you know, there are some pricing implications in here. I would encourage you guys to look into that. Depending on the type of offering, the frequency in which you can schedule this, you know, varies. But at the end of the day, it's something that you can implement so it runs on a periodic basis. And the code clean up the cache is actually very simple. We just go to our mobile service. We create a new job. We can, in this particular case, I'm selecting it on demand, which is recommended. You are doing this for development purposes. Then you can think about, you know, how frequently you want to run this later, and you can schedule that at a later time, right? And then the implementation is very straightforward. So what we're doing there, anything that has expired in both of our tables, we just go ahead and delete it, right? We first delete the actual cache data, right? And then we delete our cache keys table, right? Anything that has expired, we just delete it. And that's it. You know, it's straightforward, nothing out of the ordinary, nothing complicated. So let me show you a demo of all this thing working. So let me show you the final product. So this is the mobile service that we just created. Let me show you that we have now two tables here, right? The Bing News Cache, which actually stores the cache data. So we have the cache key table. We're actually storing the cache key, the criteria, that the whole mechanism that allows to handle concurrency. We have the custom API, Bing News here, with implementation that we just walked through, right? Including the last function that we talked about that handles the concurrency, right? Then we have our scheduled job here. Just to show you this approach, I have a very simple Windows Store app that uses the API to search for news based on a particular topic. So I'm just going to enter something here, Microsoft, just get the latest, according to Bing, about Microsoft. And what is happening right now is we just call Azure Mobile Services. So what just happened right now, we just call Azure Mobile Services, and because there was no data, right, in our cache, it actually called the Bing Search API, returned the data back to Mobile Services. Mobile Services persisted that information to the cache, and then Mobile Services returned that data back to my client, which is this Windows Store app. And we can see the results here. So we go back to Azure, because my code is instrumented. I can see what happened behind the scenes if I go to the logs section, in Azure Mobile Services. So you can see here, this is the service query for Microsoft. No data was found, so we're actually making the API call. We got the response. This is where we actually are trying to insert data into our concurrency handler table and the cache keys table, right? And we're just returning the data back to the client. So now that we have the information cache, if I go back to my application and click Get News again, right? Now, Azure Mobile Services is returning my cache data instead of making the API back to, instead of making the API call back to Bing. So now what is happening is that Azure Mobile Services is returning the data that it has cached in the table back to me. So that's it. So thank you very much for listening today. Hopefully this was something that gave you some additional insights on how you can use Azure, and specifically Azure Mobile Services. Go to my blog where I have a very detailed walkthrough of how to do this, including the code that I just showed you, and some additional resources that you might find useful for this purpose as well. So thank you very much, and talk to you next time.